had a summer job in my college days at a high school where I would be a custodian for the summer. Some of you have done that, and I've done a pretty good job at it. I wasn't very good. I didn't know how to fix things, but I did know how to clean things. So I got some good stuff done. And the principal came up to me one day and said, "Oh, so good to see you in church on Sunday." He said, "God is the answer to all our troubles, isn't He?" And that caught me by surprise. First, I didn't know he went to the same church I went to. And thinking about what he said made an impact. Here's the principal who I think knew my dad and mom. So I think my mom and the principal were in cahoots to point me in the right direction. It's hard to go up against that influence. But I was so glad for what he said about God and began to take the Lord and being with his people a lot more seriously since I knew this guy and you know the kind of person he was. But God's message to us in the book of Exodus, pretty much what the principle said, you know, God is the answer to all our troubles. In Exodus, we see God alone saves us from our troubles. Often we'll use other people to do that, but it's Him alone who engineers the whole rescue mission when our life is messed up, and we can trust Him. In Exodus, He rescues a whole nation, Israel, from slavery to Egypt. And Egypt kind of stands for sin, because in Egypt there's pagan gods, there's human pride, there's human power. All that's a big deal to the Egyptians. And in our life, when we think, well, what are my major troubles that I need God to rescue from? We would have a variety of them, but the Bible would tell us our biggest trouble all the time is our own sin against God. That's what's going to bother us the most in our soul. Health problems, rough. God can help us. Other people's difficult character and so on. Yes, that is a big deal. Really, it's our own sin that God would come and say, "Hey, you're in slavery to that. I hear your cry for help. I see your misery. And I will come and say, let my people go." And you'll experience the freedom that the Israelites experienced. You know, Jesus said, anybody who sins is a slave to sin. But if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. So what would trap us, if there's any aches in our soul, you know, aches and pains, and just say, don't feel the love of God or the following of that I would follow God in my life. God could deliver us from that. He's all about that. And so to look at God's love in the second love letter of the Old Testament, Exodus. Mentors for this, is like a Bible overview of the Old Testament, looking at the Lord mostly. Mentors being Norman Geisler, Larry Crabb, you know, get that input in there, plus, of course, the Bible itself. Creation in Genesis. God made everything, respect all. Made in God's image. Okay, people made in God's image. We take that from the book of Genesis. There's calamity in Genesis. Wipes out the whole human race. Big time trouble. Paradise is lost. Calamity. Then there's covenant. God says, I'll be there for you, even when you can't be there for me. Or you won't be there for me. You have pictures in the Old Testament, people falling down, turning away from God, desperate to run their own lives. God takes over. He's there for them when they can't be there for themselves. Good lesson to take into family life. We honor moms. We recognize mom has limitations. Mom can't always be there for us. Okay, but God will be there for us. He says if mom and dad are not there, the Lord will take us up. And then compassion reaches out to Israel and Egypt in the same character named Joseph, who really points us to Jesus. Well, Exodus, God alone rescues, and we could trust Him. Here's the themes going maybe with the sweet peas here. Presence of God, power of God, big deals in the book of Exodus. God says, I will be with you. It's a reminder that the main character of the Bible, main point of the Bible, is the Lord. Not Moses, not the laws, not the Israelites who were back and forth, and they're, you know, following the Lord. Okay, main hero of the Bible, presence of God, power of God, 10 plagues, let the people go, Passover, painful time for the lost, salvation time for God's people. The Red Sea, God saved the people. Okay, the rescue. A word about these two themes, which is important for us. They're repeated in the Bible a lot, also, especially in the book of Exodus. And sometimes we're drawn to one another based on our personality, was brought out in some of the testimonies. Presence of God, that would be Joe's mom. She would really love, because a person is a people person, that person is going to love the presence of God. They're going to love things like prayer, things like devotions, closet devotions, things like worship. That's where it's at. Give me that Bible and give me that truth to set me free. Presence of God, very important. Those folks really need to remember the power of God too. God can help us not only feel close to Him, but follow Him. Do what He asks us to do. Take actions of love on behalf of many, which every testimony person gave today. And then there's folks who are more doers, like the big events of life, the miracle that God would do, the opening of the Red Sea, maybe cheer a little bit too loud when the Egyptians get crushed by the water. Power of God. Okay, that's true. We are glad for the power of God. And those folks really need to know, hey, don't forget about God's walk with you. Okay, how you treat Him in the moment and how you treat other people in the moment. Presence of God, power of God, big deals in Exodus, plan of God, promised land, 10 commandments, perseverance of God, I'll stick with you. And what happens to God's people? How in the world do they get into Egypt? Because they have to hit the road. Joseph is buried in Egypt after serving in the Egyptian government. Okay, he's buried in Egypt. It's highly symbolic of God's love for lost people. Where are you buried? Oh, you're buried in Iraq. What are you buried in Iraq for? You know, or Turkey, or North Korea. Why are you buried in North Korea? I have no idea. Joseph, buried in Egypt. God has a plan for the nations. Jesus dies between two thieves. Savior among the sinners. Okay. God apparently is on a mission to Egypt, to the really the sinful, the lost. So Joseph in Egypt, he dies. Israel starts to grow. Egypt gets afraid. Okay, uh-oh, the newcomers are taking over the country. Okay, that's what the Egyptians say. Repeated in history, you know. One time in our nation, it was here. Oh, the Irish, you know. Man, watch out for the Irish. Watch out for the Italians, you know. They're coming over on the boat. And so on and so on. Okay. That's a normal thing for people to say, I'm afraid it is. What's going to happen? You know, we're going to have Polohi and Halupki all over the place, whatever the case may be. So, God says, yes, God's on a mission. One missionary said, if the nations don't hear about the gospel in one place, He'll get them to another place to hear about the gospel. It's a plan Christians can get behind, in addition to other concerns that you might have in regards to that. But Israel grows, Egypt gets afraid, Egypt stomps on Israel. Kill all the male children. Pretty rough. Mom to the rescue through God. Moses' mom says, oh, you're not getting this one, you know. Puts him in the Nile. She tries to be in a protective area. Another mom comes along, daughter of Pharaoh. Oh, you know, must be one of the Hebrew children. Don't kill this one. Let's take care of this one. Amazing thing. Two God-fearing women. Pharaoh's daughter, yet to meet the Lord. But used by God to have this one be protected. God's going to meet this one. Introduce Himself to Moses. Use Moses. Okay. God saves us out of Egypt for a purpose. Somebody's going to meet the Lord through your life. Maybe way on down the line. In Moses' case, maybe 40, 80 years down the line. Okay. God's work. Through Moses, out of Egypt. Let's look at Moses' limitation for a little bit. God calls Moses, reveals himself to Moses, gives promises to Moses. Moses has limitations in sin. Biggest one right off the bat, guilty of felony murder. Okay, don't forget about that in regards to Moses. He killed a man, sees a fight going on, kills the Egyptian, hides it, thinks he's going to get found out. He's the fugitive. Okay, this is Moses. Remember that. Moses, not a very good communicator. One of the Hebrew words used for Moses saying not much of a speaker might be related to the word stutter. I don't know if Moses stuttered. He felt like he stuttered. God says, I'm gonna get my people out of Egypt and I'm gonna send you to do that. And he says, no, not me. Okay. Moses wouldn't speak at the commencement service, put it that way. Overwhelmed by responsibilities. He's messing it up. His father-in-law Jethro says, hey, you're killing yourself and you're killing the people trying to do all you're doing. Moses is not a great manager at the beginning. Moses is also a hothead. Takes the tablets of the Ten Commandments, says, look at all this sin. That's it. Okay. God says, hey, my people are going to get thirsty. Speak to the rock. I'll bring water from the rock. Moses sees the people being thirsty. He gets mad. He hits the rock. God and I will give you the water. God says, Moses, that's enough. No promised land for you. Okay, so God's going to work in spite of his limitations. 40 years of wandering leadership never gets to the promised land. God gives the Ten Commandments, however. He has a plan. The law was given through Moses. You know, the Ten Commandments, wonderful gift. We should commit them to memory. And we should more importantly ask God to help us walk in their ways. Pretty important we commit them to memory. Pretty important we know the Word. Much more important that we live according to the ways. Much more. Good to acknowledge we're 0 for 10 every week, standing before a holy God in the Ten Commandments. Okay, that's not a rough evaluation, that's a honest evaluation before God. Maybe we keep the one of honor mom and dad the most. It tells us God is holy. We need the gift of his holiness. And one thing to remember about God's law, really important. God's law is very good and very holy. Doesn't pass away. Okay? And Jesus is very, very, very good and very, very, very holy. So remember those two, okay? When God sends us that love letter, don't just hug the love letter. Hug the Lord. Okay, hug the Lord. The love letter's from him. So he points us to himself, the need of the Savior, the good law of God fulfilled by Christ on our behalf. Just to look at the Ten Commandments with you briefly. First command, I'm the Lord your God. No other gods. God is first. Lord, we need your help to keep you first. Second command, don't make an idol. God hates idols. Worship God only. Idols make us look ridiculous. Our life was never meant to be given to that. God says, my name is holy. Keep God's name honored in our soul and what we say. God gives rest. We like that. Sabbath rest. God loves life. No murder. No murder with the tongue. God loves faithfulness. No adultery. Faithfulness. Spouses think, I'll love my spouse like Christ loves the church. I love my spouse like Christ loves the church. That's the model. That'll take care of the adultery problem. Okay. And if we've fallen in that area, we just say, oh, Lord, I know I could, like today, I could start off fresh today. God loves generosity, no stealing. God loves truth, no lying. God loves thankfulness, no coveting. And as the Lord brings His people out of Egypt, you know, His initiative after initiative, love after love. Here's manna. Here's quail. And here's my presence, most of all. Here's Moses leading, and we close off with some promises. God says, I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Well, and that's part of our knowing God. You know, we didn't have the strength to walk with God or fly with God, as it were. And God says, I will carry you. We're so glad He's faithful like that. I did this sky cam, I think that's what it was or whatever, when they had the little eaglets over there on the other side of Pittsburgh, you know. They had to wait for Mom to give them everything. That's the Lord does that for us. We get strong, but our strength is Him. God says, hey, punishing the third and fourth generation for those who sin against me. So my sin will impact my sons, impact their children, impact their children. And what God will do too will do the same. Okay, so we had some testimonies about that. But I like the contrast. Punishing the third and fourth generation, that's true, but showing love to thousands of generations. Whew, I like that part. It's almost like our love from Mom, right? Mom sent me to my room 3 or 4 times a week. I deserved it. She gave me 1,000 blessings that week. Okay. God will deal with us in our sin, but it will also give us 1,000 mercies. And we'd be very glad about that. And then, He abounds in love and faithfulness, maintains love to thousands, doesn't let the guilty go punished. And yet, and here's the last part. So the cloud of the Lord in the sight of Israel was there during all their travels. Dead battery. No problem. But the Israelites, they're running all over the place, taking 40 years to get, you know, real short distance in our walk with God. God says, hey, I'm going to be with you. I give you some protection at night. I give you some light in the dark. How great God is to us. Exodus. God only will get you out of your troubles, and you can trust Him. If He did it for the whole nation, He'll do it for us. And let's pray together. Lord, for each of us, we thank You for Your Word. It's just a view from the highlights of what You did. And we want to know how You helped others so You could help our loved ones and help us. So, Father, in our own soul, if we want to be turned into a burning bush, you know, You showed Yourself to Moses. Moses became a burning bush, as it were. We want to be a burning bush for You. So for any soul here, Lord, who needs salvation, they say, when will God rescue me? Might they say from their soul and convert by Your Spirit, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And Jesus, continue to make Your people holy and loved by You and loving You back. Thank You for each one here. In Jesus' name.